At this time, I'm going to ask my new friend Nate to come up here and introduce tonight's speaker.
I'm Nate, I'm a grace recovered addict. And you talking about miracles just been going on today, man. I mean, I'm like, wow. I met this brother yesterday, and you know, when I first came around here and in my first convention, they said, just, you know, meet some people, get some phone numbers, talk. And I met this brother, and we chatted up. He was sitting in the lobby, sitting by himself. I just went over here and just interrupted his whole damn day. You know what I'm saying? You know. And we hung out for a little bit, and we got a chance to talk and catch up. And we, my sponsor family is from Florida, and he's from Florida. And what I got when I first met him is this piece of serenity. You know, his whole aura was just the recovery piece of serenity. And I have no idea that he was the main speaker. He asked me to introduce him. And it's just such an honor. Such just an honor for you to ask me to do this. So I don't know what he's going to come up and say, but I'm sure he's going to give us the true message and a clear narcotics anonymous message that any addict can lose the desire to use and find a new way to live and give us a clear, blessed message. No brother, for me, I give you Brian A. from Florida, from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
I'm Brian, I'm an addict. Oh man, I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for introducing me. Can everyone hear me? Is there an echo? You're good?
It's fixing it.
Okay. So I asked Nate, because I was just walking around, I just got here, and he started talking to me. And he didn't know who I was, he didn't know how long I'd been clean, and he was just interested in getting to know me. And I know we've all experienced things where someone's like, oh, that's the main speaker, then everybody wants to talk to them, you know what I mean? And to be honest with you, it's about how we treat the newcomer, the people that we don't know, not so much as the people that are, you know, famous in NA or have like a high commitment or something like that. And I share that because, you know, in NA, you know, there's a saying that you need to stick with the winners. And I always hated that because my father used to say that to me all the time. My father would always be like, when are you going to stop being a loser and be a winner? And when I got here, I was like, back with this shit, you know? And to be honest with you, when I got here, a lot of people didn't want to be around me, you know? It's funny now, because now I'm the main speaker at a convention. But when I first got here, literally, I remember I sat down next to this guy, and he got up and sat somewhere else, you know. And even my best friend today, I always make fun of him, because he, like, straight ignored me my first year clean and, like, stayed away from me, you know. He had, like, three years clean, and at the time, I was sharing a lot of burning desires. So in his mind, he was like, I'm staying the hell away from this kid, you know? And he heard that I was 17. And he got clean at 19. And to him, he was like, you know, 19 was young. But he went to prison. So he was like, you really can't get clean that young unless you go to prison. That's what he was thinking. And he was just thinking like, you know, he shares a burning desire every night. I'm staying away from him. And in his mind, he was like, he's losing. And he told me that years later, like, you know, I was hanging out with the winners. And I would always be like, but bro, I was clean, I was winning, you know? I was taught to share, right? Because when I first got here, I didn't want to share because I didn't want to sound new. I didn't know everyone knew I was new, right? I never picked up a white key tag because I didn't want y'all to think that I was new. I was like, nah, I'm gonna wait for the green one, you know? And I didn't pick up a white key tag because I wanted to be cool. And you know what? That's my story. My whole life I wanted to be cool. And the literature talks about that fatal cool, you know? And and I used, right? I didn't know alcohol was a drug, because it said thinking of alcohol may cause us to relapse. So I was thinking, you know, be careful when you drink because you may relapse. You know, when I got here, I was 17 years old. There was no way I wasn't drinking forever. And people would be like, nah, it's just for today. I'm like, nah, you've been here 20 years talking about just for today. You know, in NA, we dope fiend you. You know, just like they dope fiend you out there. The first time I ever smoked crack, I swear to God, first time I ever smoked crack, I was in a crack house and I was selling powder, right? But I wasn't smoking no crack, right? That's crazy. You know? I remember looking at that and being like, never, ever, ever would that ever, would I even pick that shit up, you know? And this one time I was coming down, I was at the barber shop, right? And I was coming down, I was in the crack house, and this guy goes, man, it's just like powder, but you can sleep on it, you can eat on it, and there's no come down. I said, no way, let me try that, brother. You know? And as soon as I hit it, I was like, there's a come down, and everyone was laughing at me. And then 2 weeks later, I was with my friend, I was like, man, you gotta try it. You can sleep on it, you can eat on it, and there's no come down. And in NA, we do that too. You know, we say, oh, don't worry about the God thing. You'll get to that later. And then you find out it's all about the God thing. You know, we say, oh, don't worry about the fifth step. Just do the fourth step. Oh, don't worry about never drinking ever again. It's just for today, you know. And when I got here, I really couldn't imagine never, like, you know, we future trip. And I was thinking, like, I'm never going to be able to do this. I'm never going to be able to do that. And I think I had like 30 days and I drank with my family and I didn't tell anybody. And let me back up a little bit. So I'm born and raised in South Florida, right? I always like to include everybody first. So I always like to say, like, it doesn't matter if you snort it, drink it, smoke it, boof it, however you do it. You're in the same room that we're all in. You know, if this was Gamblers Anonymous, man, it don't matter if you horse bet, it don't matter if you play craps, it don't matter if you play roulette, you fucking losing, right? Whatever you spend the rent money on, it got you so fucked up that you ended up in the same room as everybody else, right? It don't matter if it's just scratch-offs, right? If this was Overeaters Anonymous, it wouldn't matter if you like cheesecake or Oreos, right? It don't, whatever you eat to get you fat, it don't matter, right? And whatever you use to get you to surrender, because you gotta surrender to come here. Ain't nobody like, golly, I can't wait to go to NA. Like, nobody. You know, I was just listening to a song y'all were playing. It said, no one comes in these rooms on a winning streak. I was like, man, I never heard that before. And it's like, you know, to walk through those doors, you gotta be losing. Right. Bad. And you know what? When I got here, I was always judging. I would look at someone and I'd be like, and they'd be talking about, I smoked crack for years, I lost all my teeth and I was homeless. And I'm like, that guy's a crackhead. Right? And then there'd be like this cute little girl sharing about how she's in her third detox. And I'm like, she ain't even an addict, you know? So it was like people were either too, and then it's like some old person would get up there and I'm like, oh, they old, you know? And it's like, whatever it was, I was always, you know, judging. It was a woman, it was an old person, whatever. And I was always thinking about what and how much they used. And when I would go to meetings, people would open up with, let me qualify. And they would share about how they've been to prison, they got shot. And now my story was hardcore up until I got here. I was thinking like, dude, I'm the worst addict ever. I got here, I was like, mom and dad, I'm fine. You know. And I start to feel insecure about my own story. I'm like, man, I should have been shooting people, robbing banks. I never even shot drugs before. You know, I'm like, man, I was doing it wrong. You know, so I came in here really feeling inadequate about, you gotta be a loser. You gotta be a real loser to be insecure about your using, right? Like, you ever lie about your using? Nah, you guys would never do that. I was smoking fat cookies out there. There was crumbs on the floor. You know? I think I've only bought $100 worth of crack at a time ever. You know, it's usually $20 at a time, you know. But with that being said, is that I was not sure if I was an addict for a long time. And I don't care if you're 50 or 15. Everyone kind of goes through that, where you're like, I know I have a problem, but am I an addict? And what I know this sounds crazy, but this is what I tell the newcomer. This is what I tell the newcomer when no one's around, when I'm just one-on-one. So don't think I'd be saying this at the podium. But when I'm talking to a newcomer outside, and like, I don't know if I'm an addict, I'd be like, yo, this is like you saying, I don't know if you're gay. If you don't know, you're fucking gay. You know? So it's like, if you're, no one's unsure if they're an addict. Imagine being at a gay convention and being like, I don't know if I belong here. Like, you were here all weekend. You know what I mean? Like, your family thought it would be a good idea for you to go. People have been suggesting these people might help you, you know? So it's like, if everyone who knows you the most has been trying to get you to go to this thing, you might be a member, you know? You might be one of us. And there is a part of the literature that says, like, we don't have to think twice about this. I was thinking twice about it. I was like, I'm not an addict because I'm not sure. And over the years, I've come to tell myself, because when you get clean young, you start to really think, like, hey, you know, I mean, I guess if you get clean at any age, you start to think, like, hey, I'm cured. Do I really need to go here forever? You know, the meetings start to get boring. The people you looked up to, you start to realize they're people too, you know? And you start to kind of feel like maybe you don't have to do this. But for me, what qualifies me to speak here is not what and how much I use, is that I have a sponsor, I work steps, I do service, and I go to meetings, right? That is what qualifies someone to speak somewhere, not that they've been to prison and all these different things. And maybe I'm just saying that because I don't got a cool using story, because if I had a cool using story, I'd be like, yeah, prison's where it's at, you know? But to be honest with you, you know, my story is sad and depressing. You know, a lot of people come up to me and say, man, I could never get clean when I was your age. That's because you was having fun at my age. I was suicidal at 14, right? I was ready to die. I didn't want to be here, you know? When I came to NA, it was like sliding into home plate. This was like finding an island with an oasis when you've been lost at sea your whole life. You know, this was like really feeling like this is the, you know, someone talks about walking into NA was like standing your whole life and finally being able to sit down, you know? And Narcotics Anonymous saved my life, and it's felt like it saved my life since the beginning. I was just a little skeptical, you know? With that being said, I'm just gonna share a little bit about my using. So I remember, like, the last time I used, I got beat. And I just want to say, like, so for everyone to know, like, whatever drug you did, whether you smoke it, snort it, pills, alcohol, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You're here, right? But for me, I'm just going to share about how I used. My drug of choice is crack and Oxycontin and Roxy's. And I share that because I went to meetings for a long time and never heard people share about my drug of choice. And I know the literature says that we don't dwell excessively on war stories. I'm not going to dwell excessively, but I will talk about using. And I remember I was using and I got beat and I was dope sick. I was experiencing withdrawals at 14 years old. You know, I smoked weed in fourth grade. I did coke in seventh grade. And I was smoking crack and addicted to opiates by ninth grade. And I remember I got robbed. And when the kid robbed me, I remember I had given him money and he took off with the money. And I knew when I gave him the money, if you've ever seen two crackheads yelling at a gas station, this is what's happening. So I had robbed the drug dealer and I needed him to give me, this is what I would do. So I couldn't get drugs because I would rob all the drug dealers. So I'd have to pay other drug addicts to go cop for me. And then I'd have to take some type of collateral and I'd give them the money and they would go and they would come. Usually it would be like their phone. So I'm at the Shell gas station, and I'm like, all right, bro, I'm going to give you the money. Give me your phone. He's like, nah, I need my phone. And I was like, nah, bro, if you don't give me your phone, I know you're just going to take my money. And he looked me dead in my eyes, and he says, I ain't going to rob you, man. I was like, bro, I would rob me, man. Like, you know? And he's like, I ain't gonna, and I already know. And I was like, bro, call him now. Tell him you're on the way. And he's like, I need my phone to call him. Like, that's why you're gonna call him now. Then you're gonna give me the phone. I'm gonna give you the $40. You're gonna go copy. You're gonna come back. And he was like, no, no, no. And we were screaming. I was like, give me the phone. He was like, no. I was like, give me the phone. And then I was just so, like, when I heard sick and tired of being sick and tired of literature, I was thinking about that day. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I remember I gave him the $40 and he took off on me. And as soon as I gave him the money, I could just see it in his eyes. I was never getting it back, you know? And then whatever, he rips me off and I end up walking home dope sick. And I remember I called him. I was leaving all these voicemails. And I remember I was like, I'm going to kill you. I know where you live. Like, you just fucked over the last person you ever want to fuck over, bro. You don't know who I fucking know. I'm going to shoot up your house. You're dead. You don't know where I'm from. The fucking hood. I'm not, you know. And I was talking all this shit. I'll kill you, bro. I'll stab you. Whatever. And he called me back. And I was talking all this shit. And he's like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah. And he goes, I'm going to call your parents. I said, you better not. And this dude called my parents, and I was in detox like the next day. Bro, this guy showed up. I was 17 at the time. He was like 24. Dude, this, I didn't know that he actually called him until he showed up to my house. He showed up to my house in slacks and a button down, tucked in shirt, and he had told my dad that he was a drug counselor for my school, and that I had robbed $200 from him, which didn't even make sense. And my dad instantly was like, I'm so sorry, come to the house, I'll write you a check. And this dude, and I'll say his name was Sal. And I was like, bro, this is a crackhead. And he showed up to my house and I see him, I'm like, what is Sal doing at my house and why is he dressed like that? And my dad goes, stay the fuck in your room. He told me everything. And I got clean, you know? And thank you. And I found out about Narcotics Anonymous. And I instantly knew I needed to go to meetings. Like, I instantly knew that, like this is what was going to happen to me. So when I came into the rooms, I didn't know about anything. Dude, I didn't know, like, if you're in the rooms and you have a guiding light, like if you got a friend with ears clean or you got a family member with ears clean, you don't know how lucky you are. Because when you're in this bitch blind, you're going to do what I did. I was going to 3 fellowships. My sponsor had 60 days clean. And I remember telling people, like, yo, Anthony's my sponsor. And they were like, no, that's your support group. I'm like, no, he's sponsoring me. We were going to the other fellowship. His sponsor thought it was a good idea. I was like, yeah, bro. And and you know what? I do believe that God puts people in your life. And I do believe that even though this man had 60 days clean, I was 17 and he was 19. And I could not believe my eyes. Because he talked about shooting dope, smoking crack. He was 19 years old. He was tatted up. He was cool. And this motherfucker wouldn't shut the fuck up about God. And I remember being like, bro, no one's around. You're still going to talk about it? Like, I thought he was saying that, like, at the meeting. He would talk about it in the car. And I'd be like, oh, this is crazy. Because I didn't get comfortable saying the G word until I had, like, 5 years clean. Right? It was weird saying, I would say higher power. You know, and I'm not saying that that's wrong or right, because I believe that higher power, God, the universe, whatever you believe in, are synonyms, right? I believe these are little words to describe an infinite thing. And no matter what word you call it, it can't even touch what God really is. But if you want to call it, you know, your dead cat in the sky, whatever, like whatever you want to call it, you just got to know that even that could never even describe it. But I got comfortable with the word God. And to see a young kid who was cool talking about God, it was like seeing a tall midget. It was like, what? How are you cool and talking about God, you know? And it was just so weird to me. I've never seen that before in my life, you know? And I remember as soon as I would call him, he'd be like, did you pray? I'd be like, no. He's like, you got to pray. And I would pray. And then I'd call him, and I remember telling him, like, yo, I really don't believe in God. And he would say, well, you could pray to my God. And I remember for like months, I used to pray like this, Anthony's God. And I'd have one eye open in case someone walked in. You know, thank you for keeping me clean today. And that's all I would say. And all my prayers used to start with, if you're out there, you know. And I started praying, and I remember I had like 60 days clean. We're on like step 7. And and you know what? Y'all laugh, right? Like, Narcotics Anonymous laughs when people say that, like, oh, we worked all 12 steps at the diner, you know? We did it on a napkin verbally, right? But in the other fellowship, they laugh that we take so long, you know? So there's got to be some type of middle ground, because y'all motherfuckers can't be 5 years clean on step 4. That's nonsense, too, right? That's nonsense, too, okay? And with that being said, I remember we were going over my step work, and I remember we were at this diner, and he was talking about God and how God is working in our lives, and he would pray with me, and to pray with someone was so weird to me, but for some reason I kept coming back. For just like smoking crack was weird to me too. I kept coming back. You know, everything I ever had a problem with in here, I had no problem with out there. I remember I used to come to meetings and people used to say, get phone numbers. I'd be like, I'm antisocial. I remember this guy, Steve Burdick, was like, how the fuck did you use? Your ass was social as fuck in that crack house. Anybody got a hit? Anybody got a hit? Anybody got a hit? You know? So we was filing and dialing over there, you know. I had everybody's phone number. If the dope dealer didn't answer, I was like, well, he must be busy. I was like, nah, we're calling again. And we going over there. I had the dope dealer say, do not come to my house, it's Thanksgiving. I was at the fucking house saying I didn't hear him, you know. Like, you know, I practiced perseverance and all types of principles when I was using. So anyway, so we're doing step work, right, and something inside me is like, man, you should tell him that you drank, not use, right? You should tell him that you drank. I don't know why. And I was like, oh, I drank with my family a couple nights ago. And he was like, so you relapsed? I was like, take it easy, brother. I said, I drank with my family. And he was like, so you used? And I said, no. I was like, maybe he doesn't get it. I only drank. And he said, when the train conductor honks the horn, he's not warning you about the caboose. I didn't get what he said for years. I was like, what? I was like, caboose? Oh, I'm so confused, you know? And it was before ChatGPT. And I remember he was like, so you relapsed? And I was like, no, I just drank. And he goes, you got to go get a white key tag tonight. And I was like, what? I go, I'm not giving up my clean time. He said, you already did. I was like, I already. And then I was like, so if I keep going to meetings and I don't get a white key tag, I'm a fraud? Like, what? And I was like, I went to the meeting not anticipating to get a white key tag. And I was 17 years old. And man, when you make it to 90 days clean, like those pieces of plastic, like, you would die behind that shit, you know? And I was like, dude, I gotta start over? I'm not starting over, you know? And I kept hearing about him, like, you already did, you know? Fuck. And I remember I was at the meeting, and I had seen them do this for months, where someone gets up and they clap. And I remember they said, is anyone picking up a white key tag? And I stood up, and I could feel the energy in the room. I could feel people being like, ah! Brian, not you, you know? There was this woman in there, and she gasped, oh, not my baby, you know? And I could feel people, I felt it. I felt that people were like, oh no, you were doing so good. Like what? I could sense it. And I remember I went and got my white key tag, and I sat down, and when people clapped, I felt a love that I don't remember ever feeling. And I had seen people clap for other people, but I told you, I never got my white key tag. I wasn't opened up yet. And I had already been clean for 90 days. I've been going to this meeting for 90 days. People knew who I was. And when people clapped for me, I felt love for the first time. Not from my family, and not that my family didn't love me. I think my family loved me to the best of their ability, but I believe that if you're an addict, you need a lot of love, right? Some people, they live their whole lives like, oh, my dad never said I loved me, whatever. We in here 40 years later still talking about that, you know? You know, we here 40 years later talking about my dad never said he loved me, and like, I feel that we are extraordinary people that need a lot of extraordinary love. Right? We need 100 motherfuckers to say we love you every day. That's how much love we need, right? And if not, we like, fuck everybody, you know? We need that. And that's okay. Some people need a lot of other shit, you know? And I'll never forget at the end of the meeting, you know, you never know who's gonna reach out to you. And I remember this woman, Charity, she had like 7 months clean. She came up to me, and I could just see it in her. She was so sad that I had used. She was like, come here, baby. You know, she gave me a hug, and she goes, we love you so much. She didn't ask what happened. We know what happened. I had a whole story to tell everybody. Nobody gave a fuck. You guys know only two things can get you high, right? This guy told me once, only two things can get you high. That's your left hand and your right hand. Ain't nothing else can get you high. When you relapse, don't tell us the story. We know what happened. You stop doing the things you should and you start doing things you shouldn't. Right? Other things became a priority. That's the only thing that can ever get someone high. You know? So anyway, she gave me this hug and I tried to let go and she just kept hugging me. And I started to cry. And I couldn't remember the last time I cried. And I was hysterically crying. You ever had a big woman just give you this hug when you're crying? She was just hugging me back and forth like a baby. And I'll never forget, she grabbed me by the shoulders and she said, real men cry. And I love my husband because he's able to cry. And I was like, really? And she goes, you need to get in there. And I was like, get in where? She's like, you gotta get your ass in there and go to the business meeting. And I was like, the business meeting? I just relapsed. I don't have any clean time. She goes, get your ass in there and learn how this shit fucking works. And I was like, okay. So I got in there, right? And she was like, you need to get a basic text. Because I would come to meetings with the big book and shit, and she'd be like, put that shit in the car. They'd be coming on Narcotics Anonymous. And I didn't know she's trying to teach me traditions. I was over there like, she doesn't know. My sponsor with 60 days said it's cool. Yeah. My sponsor with 60 days said it's all the same. And she's the one helping my ass, you know? And I'll never forget, she goes, you got a basic text? I was like, no. She's like, you got to get a basic text. And there was two of them. And I go, which one do I get, the soft cover or the hard cover? And she said, you need the hard cover. Until today, when I see people with the soft cover, I'm like, hell no. That shit's drunk. And I've been clean ever since. I'm 35 years old. I have 18 years clean. Thank you. I have 18 years clean. I've never not gone to meetings. And I only share it because I don't got kids. So, like, you know, really, I need, like, what excuse do I have, you know? But I never not gone to meetings, you know? And a couple weeks after me picking up that key tag, my first sponsor relapsed. Anthony. And he called me and he goes, hey bro, I'm moving to Orlando with Bones. And he had told me a story. Oh man, when I was selling crack, I used to sell crack with this dude, Bones. And I was like, you're moving, like, that doesn't even sound intelligent. Like, like, you were clean for, like, you know, he must have had, you know, 90 days at least at this point, you know. I was like, you were clean, now you're gonna go live in Orlando with Bones? And then he's like, yeah. And then he goes, we're just gonna drink though. We're not doing crack or none of that. And I was like, bro, you just told me it was a relapse. And he goes, no, it's not gonna be a relapse because we're not gonna go to meetings. And I was like, damn, this motherfucker knows everything. You know? And deep down in my soul,
You ever see somebody fucking up and it's so clear as day that they're fucking up? You ever see somebody get back with their ex and you're like, why would you do that? You ever see somebody go back to the bullshit job and you're just like, what? You ever see someone in the same house over and over doing the same, and it's like, when it's not you, it's so easy. It's hard to see the big picture when you're in the frame, right? But when you're outside of the frame, you're like, that shit is retarded. It's so easy to see when it's not you. That's why we're each other's eyes and ears, you know? And I remember thinking, like, man, that is dumb. And I knew it wasn't going to end good. I don't know what was going to happen. I knew it wasn't going to end good. And I went back to meetings and I started looking for sponsors. Now, when you sponsor shopping, it's kind of cool, because at first he just grabbed me and was like, let's go to meetings. My sponsor said, I should sponsor you. You're my pigeon, you know? So I didn't have a choice. But now I'm like, I'm a free agent, right? And I'm a free agent. So I'm like, I'm going to get a black sponsor from the hood with golds, you know? And then I was like, no, I'm going to get a biker white dude, you know? And then I was like, oh, maybe I should get like a hot woman, you know? You never know. So I was like, really sponsor shopping? And I remember I was like, I want to, you know, I remember like looking for people with nice cars. And I remember I was looking for people and they'd be sharing some fire. And I'd be like, man, I'd love to have that guy sharing. I'd get his number and I'd wait to see what car he got into. And I would see him get into a shitty car. I'd be like, he can't be applying the program. And I remember this one night I was shopping for a sponsor and there was this old dude and he was talking to me at night. And this guy was spending hours with me all the time talking to me. And I'll never forget, he got into like this old painter van. And I was like, no, he can't be him. So I picked someone else. I picked this hood-ass black dude with 22s on a Camry, you know? And I remember he had like the brand new Camry. This is in 2008, if you remember that Camry. That Camry was tough. And I remember I got him to sponsor me and I was calling him. And I remember I'd call him and he'd be like, who is this? And I'd be like, this is Brian, your sponsee. Like, yeah, call me tomorrow. And I'd call him, but he'd be like, who the hell is this? I'm like, oh, it's your sponsee. And he like, I just wasn't connecting with him. Whenever I would go to meetings, he'd be like, you know, he was the popular guy in NA. He'd be talking to all the girls, you know, he'd be talking to all the girls and you know, he'd be speaking everywhere. And then he like, I would be like, hey, you know, I'm your sponsee. And he'd be like, oh, hey, what's up? And I knew he didn't even know who I was. And then after a while, I was like, man, that guy sucks, you know? And then I seen that old white dude pull up in the brand new M3. And I was like, damn. And I asked him, like, damn, what happened to your van? And he's like, oh, that's just my work van. I was like, fuck, I knew I should have asked this guy. You know? And then, man, there's so much that has happened since then, but I'm going to try to speed up my story. So I was sponsor hopping. I would go from sponsor to sponsor. And when I first got clean, I never shared a burning desire. And I remember being clean and seeing people with time sharing a burning desire, and I'd be like, what the fuck? Thank God I didn't hang out with that guy, you know? And I didn't realize that you got to share that you feel like using, so you don't got to share that you're just coming back. Now, I took that to the next level, because I was sharing burning desires every night. They would open up the meeting with a burning desire, I would share. The meeting would be quiet for 2 seconds, I would share. They'd end the meeting with a burning desire, I would share. And people were just, you know, people were a little fed up. You know, they call it throwing up on the meeting. And I could sense that people didn't want me around, you know. And there was this guy, Steve Burdick, and he would always, always encourage me. I remember I would be sharing about being suicidal, about arguing with my dad and all this stuff. And I'd go outside and he'd be like, man, I love what you shared in there. I'd be like, about smoking crack and wanting to kill myself? And he'd be like, yeah, we need you. Keep coming, you know. And this one night I was sharing that NA sucks. I hate everybody. I should just use da-da-da-da. And I remember this Russian guy came up to me. And I had seen him around the rooms before. He had 2 years clean. I seen him pick up his 2-year medallion. He was 22 years old. And he had 2 years clean. I remember he used to wear American Armani Express. He used to wear Armani Express super tight and like these tight jeans. And he was like jacked. And he'd talk about shooting dope. It was interesting because I never seen someone look like him talk about shooting dope in the dumpster. You know? And he'd be talking about shooting dope in the dumpster, being homeless, and being on methadone for 2 years and 2 months.
And he would share about, you know, when you're on methadone, you don't ever forget those last 2 months. And he would talk about being homeless and all this stuff. And, you know, he had a real gnarly story, you know. But I didn't think he was sponsorship material. He only had 2 years, you know. And when you first get clean, honestly, almost anybody can sponsor your ass. That's how easy your problems are in the beginning, you know. And he came up to me one day and he was like, hey, man, because I was sharing every night, burning desires, hysterically crying. And he goes, hey, man, you need to shut the fuck up and I'm your new sponsor. And I remember thinking, like, you don't know me, you know, like, I was so insecure, I couldn't even stand up for myself to say, hey, don't talk to me like that. Like, I was like, yeah, you're right, you know, like, you know. And I was depressed, and, you know, when I first got clean, I was on that pink cloud, and then I was on that black cloud, you know, that's called life. And, and post-acute withdrawals, and just having no friends, and being miserable, and living at home with my parents, and, you know, and he was like, you need to shut the fuck up, I'm your new sponsor. And the Mad Russian, this guy saved my life. Dude, this man saved my life, dude. And when I would, and I thought I fucked up again, I would tell people, they'd be like, yeah, man, you're doing good. Who's your sponsor? I'd be like, the Mad Russian. They'd be like, that guy? That guy's crazy. And I'd be like, fuck, did I pick the wrong one again? You know? And, you know, people got stuff to say about him, you know? And, dude, this guy laid into me like no one had ever laid into me. He didn't play no games. He would say, call me every fucking day. If you miss a day, get a new sponsor. And I remember I missed calling him one day. And I called him. And I thought it was no big deal. I've been calling you every day for like 60 days. And he immediately was like, why didn't you call me yesterday? I was like, oh, I forgot. He'd be like, if I had some big old titties and a fat ass, would you forget? He said, you wouldn't forget to call me then, huh? I said, no, I don't think I would, you know? And I remember he was like, if you miss a call again, get a new fucking sponsor. And I was like, yes, sir, you know? And I remember I was calling him, and I remember I was telling him that, you know, everyone my age is having fun, and I'm watching them on social media partying and drinking, and, you know, how am I supposed to live my life and never drink again? And he was like, what? And I was like, when I turn 21, what am I supposed to do, not drink? And he said, you dumb fuck, you're not going to make it to 21. He was like, bro, you're an opiate-addicted crackhead. More chances than not, you're going to die. I was like, okay. And then I was like, well, what if I travel to Amsterdam? I can't smoke weed in Amsterdam. And he goes, Amsterdam, motherfucker, you're on community control. You can't leave the county. And I was like, what happens when I want to get married? I can't have a, you know, wine with my wife or champagne. He said, who the fuck would want to marry you? And I was like, this guy's smart, you know? And I remember I would call him and he'd be like, did you go to a meeting yesterday? I said, I couldn't get a ride. He'd be like, don't lie to me. And I was like, I called everyone. I couldn't get a ride. I don't have a car. And he said, Brian, I drove to Opa-locka on a pink bicycle during Hurricane Andrews to get one bag of dope. Don't tell me you couldn't get a fucking ride because you used for years with no fucking car. I found a ride. He was like, if you can't find a ride to the 10 o'clock meeting by 5 p.m., your ass starts walking. I said, yes, sir. You know? And then I saw the other side of him. Because at first he was mean to me. And then out of nowhere, he was like, what are you doing? I said, nothing. He goes, I'm coming to pick your ass up. I said, oh, shit. It's a date, you know? And I remember he picked me up. And I remember I had like 2 cigarettes. And he's like, you don't have any more cigarettes? And I was like, no. And he gave me a pack of cigarettes. I was like, psh, I made it, you know? He gave me a pack of cigarettes. He took me to go eat pizza. I remember we had CeCe's Pizza. And when this man bought me pizza, I was like, I never felt, no one had ever taken, because it wasn't like, we're going to go do something. He just wanted to spend time with me. And I had never felt, sometimes if I think about it with years clean, I'll cry. Yeah. You know? And we went to his house, and I remember I opened up his fridge. I had never seen this before in my life. I opened up the fridge. It looked like a 7-Eleven in there. He had like 13 different types of energy drinks, you know? And he was like, here, try one of these. And I was like, I don't really drink energy drinks. He's like, yes, you do. You do now. And fucking 18 years later, I started drinking energy drinks, you know? And this man saved my life, you know? And with that being said, I remember I would come home from meetings, right? And my parent, you know, my mom is Mexican, my dad's Colombian. And me and my father had a real rough relationship, you know? When I was using, I remember I would pray to God, and I would, because I know I didn't believe in God, but when I was using, I'd be praying my ass off. Please, God, hope it's not soap. You know? Again. You gotta have faith if you go back to the same guy who sold you soap twice. There's no way he would do that twice to me, God. But I remember when I was using, I used to say, God, I hope you kill him. I swear, I wanted my dad to die. I remember there are things my dad said and did to me as a young kid that when my father would mock me and make fun of me and laugh at me and ridicule me and call me names, I remember he would be, you know, impaired teacher conferences, and he would be like, how come you use? Like, your life is so hard. I remember just being like, I use because of you. Like, I use because I hated him, you know? I wanted him to know that you did this. You know, I had that, I'm going to hurt myself to hurt you type of mentality, you know? And when I got clean, I remember I would come home from meetings, and my parents would be like, how was the meeting? And I'd be like, Narcotics Anonymous is the best show on earth. I just heard this guy speak. He was in the Hell's Angels. He had killed like 4 people. It was so great. He drove me home. And my parents would be like, oh my God. You know? And my parents would be like, you know, maybe you can go to Narcotics Anonymous for kids. And I'm like, hey, no, Narcotics Anonymous. And in my mind, I was like, bitch, I'm grown. I ain't going to NA for kids, you know? And I would come home and I would talk about the speaker, and then I would be like, can I go to this halfway house my friend Anthony's in? And my mom would be like, no, you have a home here. I'd be like, oh, come on, you know? And my mom would be like, you know, can't you find some friends your own age? And I didn't have friends. I didn't use with people my own age. You know, I smoked crack with, I'll tell you this story, but I smoked crack with people double my age. You know, at 14 years old, you know. And when I was 14, this is the first place I ever told people my real age. I had never told anyone my real age when I was using. I always lied about my age. I always was in a stolen car or driving, so I looked like I was at least 18, right? And this is the first place I ever told my real age. And I remember, you know, my father would always make comments like, how are you going to be a winner if you keep hanging out with losers? My father would be talking about, you need to go to college. You need to become a doctor. You need to be a lawyer. You need to focus on this. You got to take your SATs. How come your grades are so fucked up? And I would be like, bro, my grades? Like, I'm fucking thinking about jumping in front of the train when I drive by it. You know, like, I'm thinking about killing myself. One of my best friends just overdosed and died. You know, like, I'm trying to get through a fucking second step with the mad Russian. I don't give a fuck about my grades. I'm still burping crack smoke, you know? Like, I'm still having drug dreams every night. I can't fucking sleep. I couldn't sleep for a year clean. Tossing and turning, aching and sweating. When I would sleep, I'm having drug dreams. You know, I got no fucking friends. I'm still pissing in a cup. I'm still on probation. No one wants anything to do with me. And the only thing that I even care about right now is that I go to this meeting at 10 o'clock at night, and this woman, Charity, says she loves me, and Steve B says, it's okay, we need you, keep coming back, and that's not good enough for you. Because now I need to go to college, now that I've been off crack for 6 months, you know? And I remember I got kicked out of school. And I got kicked out of school for fighting. And I probably had like 6 months clean. And I remember my mom picked me up from school and she was like, your dad's gonna be pissed. And I was like, I know. And she was like, no, like, he's gonna be pissed. And I was like, I know. And I remember when I got home from school, my father acted like he didn't know. And I remember I came home and I was sitting at the table. My mom was like, you sit there until he comes home. I was like, okay, so I was sitting there. And my father walked in the door and he said, "Hey, grab my bags." I said, "Okay." And my father has this presence where when he's in a bad mood, everybody in the house needs to know he's in a bad mood. My father had you could just feel it before he walked in the door that he was on fucking business time. And if you fucking made a sound or you looked at him the wrong way or whatever, he was throwing whatever you were playing with in the trash. He was fucking screaming and yelling. So you just knew that when he wasn't fucking around, it wasn't time to fuck around. And I remember he walked in the door and he said, "Get my bags." And he had like a little briefcase, and I grabbed his briefcase and he was like, "Put it down there." And I put it down. He goes, "No, don't put it down there." I said, "Put it down there." And I said, "Put it down." And I know this is all like him belittling me, you know? Like when you ever had your father ask you for that thing? And you're like, "What thing?" He's like, "Don't make me ask twice. You know the fucking thing." I was like, "I swear to God, I don't know what thing you're talking about." You know? Like things that you do to intimidate a child. Things that you do to scare them, things that you do to make them feel that they're stupid, right? And I lived with that my whole life. You know, my father never hit me, he never had to, you know? And I was so scared of him. And I remember my father walked over to the kitchen and he unbuttoned his belt. He like opened up his pants so he can breathe. My father's a big guy, you know? And he had like this Alka-Seltzer packet. And he poured it. He would always drink like Alka-Seltzer when he got home. And he took a sip from it and he looked at me and he said, "So, how was school?" And I was like, "I got kicked out." He said, "Oh, you got kicked out of school. Wow. How many times? How many times?" Like, because there's got to be a lot of times by now. I was like, "I don't know, 12? He said, "12 times? Who the fuck gets kicked out of school 12 times? Are you an idiot? I asked you a question. Are you an idiot?" "No." "So what the hell's the matter with you? Why'd you get kicked out of school?"
"I was fighting."
"Oh, you were fighting. Oh, that's great, Brian. That's great, Brian. You're 17 years old. You've been kicked out of school 12 times. You've been arrested multiple times. You're already on house arrest or whatever bullshit, and you got to go to court that your fucking mom takes you to, and now you got another charge. Did you get arrested?" I said, "No, I didn't get arrested. They just kicked me out." And I remember my father said something. He said, "You know what? I think you're using." Now I was clean 6 months. You can say whatever you want to say. Don't say I'm using. And my whole attitude changed. I said, "I'm not using." He said, "Yeah, you're using. Who gets kicked out of school clean? You getting kicked out of school clean, you got other problems." I was like, "I might got other problems, but I'm clean, you know?" And I was like, I stepped in. I said, "Why don't you drug test me, bitch?" Oh. My father said, "Drug test you? Brian, last time we drug tested you, you put orange juice in the cup. You've been faking drug tests for years. You haven't failed the drug test in years. You know how to fake those tests." And he said, no, I'm not the bitch. You're the bitch. You live in my house. I bought you those shoes. I bought you those pants. I bought you that shirt. I paid for that haircut. You live in my house. You're the bitch." And, man, when someone says that you're using and you're clean, I was just thinking, like, I might as well use. Yep. If they think this is using, I'll show him using. And you know when you've been clean, you've been racking up all the things you could have done? I could have sold this. I could have done that. I'm doing a hot rail. I'm shooting heroin. I'm booking a flight to Colombia. I'm going all out. I'm going to show them what using is. And I remember I called the Mad Russian and I was hysterically crying. And I remember I called him and I was like, "I got kicked out of school. Oh, my dad thinks I'm using. He told everyone I'm using. I might as well use." And he said, "What?" And I was like, "I got kicked out of school and my dad thinks..." He goes, No. "What did you just say to me?" I said, "I might as well use. It's like getting put in jail for robbing the bank and I never got to spend the money."
He said, no, Brian, that's not what it's like at all. We don't use no matter what. I don't give a fuck what your dad says or does. We don't use no matter what. Nobody can make you use. Let me ask you something. Why do you want to use? And I was like, because he told everyone that I'm using, and now my mom thinks I'm using, and they think I'm using. I might as well. He said, what if everybody thought you were gay? I said, what? He said, would you go out and suck a dick? I said, no. He said, you might as well. Everybody already thinks it. He said, would you be willing to admit that if somebody said that and they went out and sucked a dick, that they wanted to suck that dick the whole time and they were using this as an excuse? He said, that's what you're doing right here. I've been clean ever since. That no situation, person, place, or thing can make me use. Nobody can make me do anything. Nobody has that power but me. If I do anything over that, that's because that's what I wanted to the whole time. And if I didn't use over this, I would have used over something else. Thank you. And I stayed clean. Right? And I stayed clean. And a week later, I got kicked out of school again. I remember on the way home, my mom was like, you know he's gonna really lose it this time. I said, now it's like trivial, but at the time it felt like I'm never gonna survive this, you know? I'm getting kicked out of school. I couldn't believe it. And I remember my dad was watching TV and my mom was like, your son got kicked out of school, and he just ignored her. And she was like, did you hear me? Brian got kicked out of school again. And he turned the TV louder. And that was the last time my father ever yelled at me. That's the last time he ever talked to me. Not talked to me, but for a long time. And from that day to this other day, this is how our relationship went. Because at that day, he was done. He got arrested again. Okay. He got kicked out of school again. Okay. And I remember my dad one day told my mom, like, you take him to meetings. You take him to court. And you have him piss in a cup, and whatever he needs to do, you deal with it now, because I'm done with him. When he turns 18, he's not living in this house anymore. And you know what my mom said? My mom said, that's fine. I will take him to all those things, and I will do all those things, because he is my son, and he will always be my son. I bought my mom a car when I got clean. I bought my mom multiple cars. You know, I always tell my mom, I was like, Mom, who thought I would get clean? She said, nobody, except me, you know? My mother is so proud of me. And I know I only got a couple more minutes. I wish I could share the whole story with you. But when I had like 4 or 5 years clean, my father came with me to give me a medallion. And my father gave me my 5 year, my 6 year, my 7 year, my 8 year. And my father gives me a medallion every year. Wow. And my father, thank you. And my father says, you guys don't even want to know what I used to say about y'all, you know? And me and my father are best friends today. You know, I'm so close to him. And I see it now. Because you know what? Everyone in my family has problems with my dad except for me. And it's just, it's like, why does that make you mad? Can you believe he did this? Yes. Can you believe he did that? Can you believe he lied to mom about this money he got? Yes. Can you believe he said this? Yes. That's who he is. You know, I truly see my father as a child. My father never had therapy. My father grew up with an alcoholic father who never loved him. My father did an amazing job compared to what his father did. Right? And that's really all you can hope for, is that your father did a better job than his father. And I read a book that said, how can I be mad at someone for not teaching me something they were never taught? Right. He don't know nothing else. That's all he knows, is to scream and yell and break things. He's a little kid. My father has an inner child that never healed. When I see my dad get mad, I laugh. You know, I remember this one time I was at the house and my mom put the napkins far away. And he said, the hell put the napkins over here? They're supposed to go over here. And I looked at him, I said, who are you yelling at? Because I will fuck him up now. he goes, I wasn't yelling. I said, bro, you're not gonna talk to mom like they go, I wasn't yelling, you know.
And, you know, when people get old, they lose their testosterone. My dad is like a wimpy old man right now. My dad really is like this little boy who's just, he gets mad all the time, and he wants to take his ball and go home. And if he wants to tell a story and no one listens to him, he says, fuck y'all, and he walks away, you know. And I love that little boy. I love that man. You know, I love my father so much. And now that I'm older, I look at him, I was like, this is my fucking twin. This is my fucking, that's what would have happened to me without NA? That's crazy. That's crazy, you know? And every day I stay clean, I try to be a little bit more like my mother. You know, my father is pure disease. He just never picked up drugs. But with that being said, like, I owe Narcotics Anonymous for everything. And I truly believe that if you work the program, you will have a life beyond your wildest dreams. Nobody ever regrets getting clean. People only regret not doing it sooner. I don't care if you're 60 or 16 or whatever. I want to end with this. I remember when I was first getting clean, I was struggling with like using dreams all the time, right? And man, I'm trying to think about how this man said it. But I felt like using all the time, right? And I remember my issue was I wanted to be clean, but I wanted to be using. And I remember this guy once said, he told me, he was like, stop saying you feel like using. From now on, I want you to say, my disease is trying to get me to get high. And from that day forward, I no longer confused me and my higher self with my disease. My disease is my lower self. My disease is something that's trying to rob me of my freedom. So now when I have using thoughts, I really do see it as like an antagonist. It's somebody else. And once you can see it, now you can start dodging it. Yeah. Right? And with that, thanks for letting me share.